My name's Garrett Higby. I'll be your speaker for the day, evening. And if you're here, I think we're talking about troubled parents, parenting adolescents. No, that's not it. But it probably is something like that, isn't it? It's parents parenting troubled teenagers. So we'll be diving into that in a minute, but let me open up in prayer. That'd be all right. Father God, we just are thankful to be here tonight. You brought us all here from many different places, not just physically, but probably spiritually, emotionally. We're trying to get our minds here. We're trying to be open. Lord, we'd ask your Spirit would just settle us. Give us just a sense of what you want us to walk away with at the end of this week. We know we're here for a reason, Lord. You don't make mistakes. You've ordained this time. There's something we're supposed to take away, Lord, and we'll leave that to you, and we'll just be open. Lord, don't let us take something away that wouldn't be helpful to others, wouldn't help us, wouldn't be from you, and let us take everything that is from you to heart. We love you. We can't wait to get into your word and see your spirit of fellowship in this place and just make friends and visit old friends and just be with each speaker tonight. Bless them mightily and each person here to receive. In Christ's name, amen. All right, again, my name is Garrett Higby. Some of you I know. I've seen you around track four way too many times. but that's all right, because I've been here I don't know how many years. And I'm still in track four, so I got so bored with it, they said, okay, you can teach. But no, actually, it's been really neat to watch people come up to tracks, to be a part of track four for several years now, and watch people really trying to bring in new thinking related to more specific topics that we struggle with in counseling. And that I really respect Faith Baptist for that, and have been glad and felt fortunate to be a part of that. I used to work for a church in Indianapolis and really learned a lot by just immersing myself in counseling within a church culture, and I think many of you might be able to relate to that. That's a neat place to do counseling. It's a hard place to do counseling because you're in community and that type of thing, but it's also very rewarding. I was an elder there for 5 years, and then God really put something on my heart. Had always had this vision of doing something with families, something more retreat-like, more intensive, and that's how 12 Stones was born. God really put a vision on my heart and then a few others to take whole families and hospitalize them for Jesus Christ, to have an alternative to psychiatric care, to be able to give people as much as, you know, 30 or 40 hours of counseling in a week. Can you imagine how bad they feel when they're done? It's amazing. I've watched, we've done now a little over 100 families in the 2 years. God has really blessed. And it's just been amazing to watch what happens the first day they come in. They don't want to get out of the car, right? You know, they're like, what am I getting into? The second day they're there, they're starting to get into their heart with Scripture just piercing. God is moving, and He always shows up in spite of us sometimes, even. I'm not kidding you. There's days when I'm wondering why I'm the one counseling. I should be on the other side of the table. You know, but God, in spite of that, uses us. And then there's a brokenness that happens most of the time, which is a beautiful thing to be a part of and to watch. It makes you break every time, right? Because it's a double-edged sword cutting both ways to the counselor and counselee. You aren't doing good biblical counseling if you're not changing every time you counsel and growing. So there I am being embarrassed and at the same time hopeful. And then God does some amazing thing where He starts to put hope in everybody's hearts, and by the time people leave, they don't want to leave. And that's just happened almost every time. And the advocates that come with them, we will not take anybody without somebody from their church family or friendship coming with them through the whole time. So we're sending out, we're trying to return soul care to the church is what we're trying to do. We're just an attendant to the bride. And so in doing so, what happens is the advocates come in and they go, I thought we were here for them, right? And I don't think we've missed that once so far. I don't think one advocate has not in some way said that. So it's just been really exciting, and that's kind of what we do. Rob, Ron, and I, we'll have a table Monday. Please stop by and check us out, talk to us, say hey to us. If you have any questions about what we're doing, we're about an hour and a half south of here in beautiful Brown County. So we really enjoy what we do, and maybe you'll get a chance to get to know us through that. But that's not what I'm here to talk about, really. I'm here to talk about teenagers, and why would I want to talk about teenagers? I love teenagers. I really do. I've worked with teens for over 20 years. I'm 47, so since I was probably about 22, from 22 to probably about 31, most of my time was spent with adolescents and parents and families. And I loved it. I really enjoyed working with kids, the raw authenticity. They're in your face. You know where they're coming from typically. And I kind of like that because I'm kind of slow. So anyway, I would pick that up and be able to work with that. I also think, you know, when you're working with teenagers and families, you have to be more of a martial artist, right? Because it's coming at you hard, and you've got to be able to go, "Ooh, can I help you up?" Right? Because their stuff is really coming, and if you resist it with a real predictable, you know, parental response, typically, you know, there becomes this wall. But if you kind of take it and you say, "I don't, you know, let me help you with that," and you just let it pass by, and they're kind of like, "You know, I didn't shock you. I didn't tick you off. I didn't make you afraid." And I'm like, you know, no, you really didn't. I've got God sitting right here with me in the Holy Spirit, and there's really not a whole lot I haven't seen. And, you know, if I'm capable of doing worse than you ever probably thought. So let's get real, right? And you know what? They kind of go, okay, you're a little different. Maybe I can talk to you because you're scaring me a little bit. That's one of the keys with working with adolescents. Your pace, you have to take the pace, or they will every time. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Here's a great verse, and there aren't just there's verses. You know, it's all of Scripture, right? It's not one verse. We're not all about here's the verse for adolescents, right? But let me just tell you a verse that has affected the way I parent. I have two little ones. I don't have any teenagers yet. And I know everyone's going, "Oh, wait, you just wait." But I will wait. I can't wait, actually. But here's a verse that has really seasoned the way I respond to my kids, and I believe should be in the heart of any parent or anybody married or anybody that's living on this earth that really wants to get along with people. So that might include you. In Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion," remember that it may give grace to those who hear. Wow. Okay. So I got to watch what I say. I've got what I say has to come at the right time, in the right way. It's got to fit the occasion. And it needs to bring grace. Boy, how would that change the way I talk to my wife and my kids and whoever else I'm talking to? If I own that scripture, if that address is visited regularly by me, right, and I say, "I live there, that lives in me," it changes the way I speak, the way I think, the way I relate. And I've really encouraged a lot of people to make that a theme verse in their relationships because it keeps you out of a lot of trouble. There's a lot of other great scripture we'll go through tonight. Wish we had more time. I'm going to say that in advance. How to be a good parent to your teens? You may be here thinking, "I really want to help parents to work better with their kids, and maybe I'm a grandparent, maybe I'm a parent myself. Maybe I really need a little help with my teenagers." That's okay. There is no prerequisite in coming in as far as that. Everybody should be thinking about somebody by the time they leave tonight that you might be able to say, "Wow, this would be really helpful with them," or "It's helpful for me." How is working with teens different? Is it really, do you have to really